This is Heirs to Heresy, part 9. Had a climactic last session. It's been a couple of weeks, so it was a brief recap. Our Templars were cornered by the French forces at the foreign artifact shop in Royan, and they managed to kick a lot of ass, killing several French guards, a pair of French knights, and their knight commander. Though we did get to a pretty hairy situation where Elias was almost struck down by one of these knights. However, a figure that was lurking on the rooftops nearby shot a crossbow bolt at the French knight, dropped down into the alleyway to help defend against the onslaught of soldiers. And this red-haired warrior woman basically yelled at Elias to get to safety at a nearby location. She then went and picked up Estevan Torben and brought you all together. She introduced herself as a knight of the Order of the Holy Sepulchre. Her name was Bridget of Nottingham. And her order is very much dedicated to the protection of sacred spaces, most chiefly of all, the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. And that she had been tracking the movements of the Grail and did a bit of a lore dump. And if you have questions about that, you can just ask them and I'll remind them, as opposed to just dumping it all back here at the introduction. But basically secured and guarded against you guys for the night and helped ensure you would get on the boat that you had secured passage on to take you out of Royan and to sea so you can sail as far south as the smugglers were willing to take you, which is the English territory of Bordeaux, about, like a week's hike away from the border of Navarre at the Iberian Peninsula. And we will pick up today, October 24th. The weather is clear and sunny, though, as we are in the late October month, things are beginning to take a chill. There are clouds on the horizon. The wind blows with constant, like just a constant buffeting wind, especially once you're out in the open. But the journey has begun. You guys will be, as you understand it, on the boat. You are sailing out from the mouth of the river of the Seine, and will be just kind of like strafing along the coast for about 20 to 30 days. And as per the agreements you guys made with the smuggler, you don't have to do a fucking lick of anything on this ship. You're not experienced sailors by their standards, and they don't want your help. You've paid for your passage, and so you're allowed to do really whatever you want, so long as you're staying out of the way of the crew and the captain. But have been given like pretty explicit instruction that's like, if we, for whatever reason, like are have like a French like naval frigate approach, that they have like a hiding space below decks for you guys to kind of like secure yourself away in to not really cause problems. And this will just be kind of just like narrative scene here, but on the mechanic side of thing, we're not really going to do a downtime as the game's rules present because we are at sea for a number of weeks. You're just going to get the f just free blanket benefits just from the entire time. So you guys spend, this is enough time to fully recover all of your stamina back. This is enough time because a few Sundays pass, you can get all of your faith points back. And also, I think within reason, maybe depending on, how many advancement points there are on the table here, like one or like two or three improvements, depending on what people are going for. But that's what we're going to focus on is improved. This is sort of like a hybrid downtime I've stitched together. But yeah, as per the game's rules, the Templars may spend advancement points to increase a skill or an attribute. If you want to increase an attribute, you double the new attribute value in skill, and that's how many points. You cannot go higher than 6. Or if you want to increase a skill, it is equal to the new value. So if you're trying to upgrade it from a 2 to a 3, you're paying 3 skill points, or advancement points, and skills cannot go above 8. So I mean, like we have, like between all of y'all, like we have, I know Elias has 8 advancement points, Esau has 7, and Torben has 3. Which, I mean, Torben can definitely increase skills during this time, at least a few of them for sure. Did we, because I know it's been a couple weeks, did we have any like specific ideas on how you will be improving during this time. Elias, I know you're kind of like angling towards a faith build. So what are you thinking about here?
Yeah, so I took the Valiant Knight, I think is the gift that I took.
This is the last time, yeah, the Valorous Knight.
Yeah, the Valorous Knight. So I can use the height of my courage or fate when you're determining your maximum fate points. They're currently the same, so I'm basically aiming to up my fate with one, which would allow me then, would then be higher than my courage, so I could all add all of my courage to my fate points.
That's very good. Yeah. That's very, very powerful. So you're going to
And
bump the
I
faith to
feel like
four. Yeah.
after, like also narratively, I think sort of
Well,
the
as a note, you won't get I'm putting you back at your previous max faith points, which was three. It specifically says it determines your maximum faith
maximum,
points. So it
yeah.
increases the threshold, but you would still need to like regain
Get
up to
there.
that point. Through the normal means.
Okay.
Which since there are like Sundays as part of this, I let me double check that. But yes, you're doing the faith build. And what I want to do is when we're talking, I want to kind of like get the lay of the land for what all of you are doing improvement wise, and we can kind of like narratively construct what that might look like during your journey overseas.
Yeah, I was basically gonna say, I feel like with the confirmation that the Grail is like the Grail, the actual holy relic, I think Elia is going to have a bit of a religious moment during this. And also given like all the sins that he committed, he's gonna go on a bit of a overzealous religious moment and up his fate. And yeah, should I already like change the mechanics, or should I keep that after we've done the narration
You can go ahead
bit?
and change that. You can go ahead and change the mechanics. Your maximum faith points are now determined. Because there are going to be like three Sundays that pass during this during the time period I decided that you could just get to add three faith points. Because what's your new maximum?
My new maximum would be 7, which I'm
Yeah,
just
so
gonna
just
write that
yeah, I'll
real
say that.
quick.
Yeah, you because of the Sundays that pass during this time, you automatically recover a faith point every Sunday. So it would make sense for you to get those. So we can start you off at six. And we might get a little bit of that scene there. Esteban, what are you thinking improvement wise?
The first one is taking athletics to +2. That way I can assist Torben in athletics checks and make him even better. And
Oh boy, we're getting a training montage. We're getting a strength training montage.
oh my, in the bottom decks of a ship, no
Calisthenics in
tension
the
can happen
galley.
there.
Yeah.
And then, oh, I was looking at possibly going faith 0 to faith 1, but I kind of like staying at faith 0 and just seeing how hard I can ride that. So I have this new herbalist ability that's intellect plus craft. And so
Yeah.
I'm thinking of taking craft to +3.
Oh, that's a good idea. Spending some time working on that. Sure. I'm into it. What about you, Torben?
I'm thinking of taking my intellect up by one
Oh, my
just
goodness.
because I'll be able to get more advancement points metagame wise.
Wouldn't you need 4 points to bump it up to a 2? Because isn't it double the new value? Is that what I said?
Yes, it is.
I
Yes, it is.
apologize.
Yeah.
I apologize. You don't have to improve, by the way. You could choose to hold on to it until the next
Yeah, I think
window.
yeah, I will do that. I'll hold on to it.
Yeah.
So Torben improves, not at all. He spends the whole trip just hanging out, chilling, relaxing.
He's probably still like maybe like brooding a little bit over everything that was going on with Elias
Probably,
in Ryan. Yeah.
definitely.
Yeah. As a note, you like I said, you guys are leaving on October the 24th. You will be arriving at your destination. No, there's not a shipwreck. You may have expected me to shipwreck you. There's not. You'll be arriving on November the 18th, in the English territory of Bordeaux. That's plenty of time at CD. I think it's like 24, 25 days, something like that. So I'm intrigued to see if there are any conversations that come up or any like particular moments we want to linger on, because the sea travel will largely itself be uneventful. Although I'm curious to ask, Does anyone here feel like they would very easily get seasick just thinking of their character? Probably not Torben, because I mean, you're a fucking Dane for crying out loud. But I don't know. What about Estevao or Elias?
I mean, I feel like the comical answer here is that Elia absolutely is like not that being seasick makes you weak, but like in narratives, like that's sort of the joke, right? So I feel like Elia is probably not doing the best.
Huddled over the railing every so often.
With 24-ish days, I feel like Estevao would start out like a little ginger and tender, but he adapts very quickly to this new situation. By like the end of the first week, he's caught
Monsieur
up.
Nivelle loves this ship. And the crew loves honestly having a cat on board, for multiple reasons. Secondary reason being rat catcher, primary reason being like, it's a fucking cat. It's a cat. That's nice. Oh, hi, Mekki.
Yeah, speaking of the devil.
Oh, exactly. He arrives. I'm into it. Let's just kind of float around with some scenes here. We can zoom in and zoom out as needed. A couple of things that I recall from past sessions that are worth bringing up here is the idea has been mentioned of like Estevao, Elias, family history, mystery, tension, or whatever. So I don't know if there's a scene there, a scene between Torben and Elias, a scene between Torben and Estevao for other reasons. I'm into whatever. I don't have a particular approach in mind for structuring these. I just kind of want to open the table to like over this like next better part of a month on the open sea. You guys are in close quarters together. The kind of scenes and maybe little vignettes that might arise from training montages or more actual character development. If anyone has an idea, feel free to throw it out there. But if you're not sure, we can start with little vignettes surrounding the character improvements. So if anyone has an idea, feel free to vocalize it. This
I
is.
had an idea for Elia and Torben and Elia and Estevao potentially, but I'm also cool starting with the vignettes, or if anyone else
Let's start with the
has an
vignettes then,
idea.
just so we can kind of like set the tone a little bit. We'll do Elias first. Elias, since you increased your faith during this time, give us a little bit about what that looks like, whether it's a singular moment or a series of small things that happen over the journey.
I think it's sort of a series of moments, but then like one moment in particular, I think is what we're gonna zoom in on. I think like Elia, I think every morning, every evening, every time we are like we have to go into that little space to hide, I think he's praying and he's like been very intense about that. And given that they are very unlikely to have to fight here, I think he's taken back to sort of doing the like self-flagellation thing. Not like I think as intense as that first time, but still like very much. And I think we see a scene of him. He's praying in Latin, of course, as you do. And we hear like that rhythmic like slap off. I think he's probably taken like a bit of cord or like a rope that they don't need anymore. And he's like, you know, like we hear that rhythmic thump of it on his back. We see those scars again, like sort of aligned like angel wings in a very visceral, gruesome way. And I think we see in his mind, he's thinking of all these, he's thinking what he considers like the devil's whispers, I think are both things that tempt him and things that he feels very guilty about. Because he thinks that the devil, you know, he comes to you and wants to tempt you into despair so that when he comes for your soul, you will give it willingly. Because you don't believe that God will forgive you, that there is love for you left. So we see these thoughts in his head, the sins, you know, we see him thinking of Bridget, we see him thinking of Torben. We see him thinking of Florence, like giggling, you know, after a party, both drunk, making out somewhere. And every time we see one of those thoughts, the dumping of the rope on his back, the prayer like intensifies, and it almost like it fades to black, like he's purging it from himself. And then the thoughts of his family of ashes. And he wasn't there, so these are just like sort of memories that he keeps painting over and over again, and they just kind of get worse every time he thinks of them. But he thinks, you know, of his sister, of Catherine being dragged by her hair by this, you know, like scary looking knight who's like dragging her, no respect for her or his family, tying her to this pyre. He thinks of the ashes, of the smoke. Sometimes he thinks of Catherine screaming for him in her last moments. And then sometimes he thinks that she kept quiet because she knew that her brother was a coward and he wouldn't come for her. And we see him like have all these thoughts, and the praying intensifies and the self-flagellation intensifies. And then it all goes quiet until there's just nothing but the sound of his voice and the prayer and the pain and the blood that's like starting to drip down his back. And I think it's that quiet in his mind, that silence that he thinks is the grace of God, where just for a moment he doesn't have to feel all that guilt and that temptation and all of the terrible things, but it's just quiet. And I think he lives in that moment for a while. And when he comes out of it, I think that's where he finds like more strength, where it's sort of a commitment or like a reassertion to himself, like, oh, it still works. This still works. I can still do this.
I love it. Thank you. Estevao, since you're boosting athletics, this will probably involve Torben in some capacity, I imagine, since you did this with the mind of helping Torben in future tasks.
Yeah. And I certainly think there's room for that, but I also think part of it is just like, as much as the other Templars are even more so, Estevao is the one insisting on like every morning, rain or shine or sick or well, we do our exercises. We do our exercises and training. Although I think like there's just not enough room for sparring or martial training under below decks or even above decks, but Estevao still like leads them through physical exercises, and in fact he might just physically exercise because he's bored,
Just starts
because
climbing the rigging, you know, like all that. Yeah.
he'll test the limits of their permissions of like where to go on the ship. If it's just an excuse to get out of the hold, and not very un-cat-like himself, finds himself just wanting to explore the space and that and not be cramped up in this tiny cell the entire time, which often does lead to him. I think we do see him like, yeah, climbing the rigging and you
If you're
know.
okay with me like interceding like a concept,
Sure.
this is so cinematic in my brain. It's like a montage of like doing like the rigging climbing, and like there's like a leap from like one part of the rigging to the other that like you miss multiple times, but like you keep going at it, and it like you have like over the course of like probably days, like sailors like gather to like just like watch you do your little like rigging run until eventually like you leap and you grab the other side, and there's like an eruption of like, you know, hearty cheers from the sailors below because people were betting that you probably wouldn't make it, but
Oh
gathered a bit of a fan base.
yeah, fully little like if we're doing a side movie, you know, a three-part miniseries, then yeah, we get full like Dark Knight Rises at the end of it. And also Estevao is like probably shirtless 90% of this time because there's no reason to have chainmail under, you know, in this situation. But that lets him you know, make some of these more agile leaps like this. And yes, yeah, full Mulan, making a man out of Estevao.
Honestly, I love that. And just in between all of these things, what's the little Torben just between both parties involved, Elias and Estevao alike, like Torben's experiences on the ship and with them as they're training and all that?
I think Torben would be helping where he can and deliberately being unhelpful where he can. I think, yeah, making Elias feel as silly as reasonable for the self-flagellation, emphasizing the swaying of the ship every time, even when it's still, probably doing some training with Estevao and mostly drinking with the sailors, I imagine.
Oh yeah, and I'm gonna be real with you. The sailors probably fucking love Torben because they are like it's I'm fully picturing that like scene from Raiders of like when Marion's doing like the drinking contest at her bar where it's just like she it just like outdrinks even like the surliest looking men of like Torben just getting involved in like little drinking games and kind of having like just camaraderie with some of the sailors. I absolutely love that. That's great. I have a couple of scenes in mind, but Jazzy, you did mention some possible ideas for scenes if you wanted to float them by first for possible moments.
I think it doesn't have to be like a super long moment, I think. But I think one, whatever time of the day it is, Elia will approach Torben. And you will see that he has like, I think like very simple clothes on. He's not wearing his chainmail on the boat, but he is wearing his Templar thing tunic still, but the cloak over it. But he's carrying a little bundle of clothes, and when he comes closer, you can see that these are the clothes that Alphonse gave him. And he will give them, like, as a gift, or like kind of wrapped almost like a gift. He will give them to Torben and kind of sheepishly say, like, I was thinking when we get to shore, you could sell them and keep the money or give it to the church, whatever you want. But I don't need it.
Why?
They're just clothes. I don't need them. I have clothes.
Yes, and when those clothes get dirty or torn, you have additional clothing. This is silliness, Elias.
You can see that he kind of like twirls in that way of like, oh, that's not the response I thought you would give me. Well, I. It's fine if my clothes are dirty. These are. I don't need them.
Very well.
I thought you didn't like them.
They are frivolous and decadent and silly looking, but they are fabric and they will keep you warm and clean, and you have them. And you
Well,
like them.
yes, but I shouldn't.
Can't help what we like.
Well, we should, shouldn't we? And if the price is your dislike of me, then they're a bit rich for my blood.
I don't care what clothing you wear.
But th then why?
I cared why you wore it.
He immediately like looks away, like very guilty, like, ah, oh, shit, you called me out. That's why I shouldn't have them.
I will hold on to them for you. If you need them, just ask.
I won't need them.
Perhaps you will get bored and wish to model the latest fashions.
No, you're right. God wishes us to live simply so that we might devote ourselves to what is important and to what is true. And these clothes are not important. They're not what matters. So sell them, hold on to them, throw them overboard. It is all the same to me.
Did you enjoy them?
There's like a long silence where he is like very obviously not wanting to admit it, but then he very quietly goes, yes. But not. I like that they're nice and I like that they're beautiful, but I think most of all, I like that they made me feel like how I used to. All changed so quickly, and I feel like I don't know who I am anymore, and these silly, frivolous clothes made me feel like maybe I did.
I'll hold on to them for you. But I think if God didn't want us to enjoy things that don't hurt anyone else, he wouldn't let us.
Well, it's not about hurting anyone else, is it? It's about choosing to live in a simple way so that we might devote us to what's really important. I don't need to be Elia Beaumet. I have to be Elia the Templar.
Elia Beaumont is Elia the Templar.
No, he was a silly noble son. He did not live his life according to God's word. But I must.
I'll hold on to them for you.
Thank you. And I'm sorry.
Me too.
In another scene, Estevao, you're below decks at a spot that you have found to be peaceful isn't quite the right word, just like secluded enough where you can like focus on things you're studying, especially since you've been referring back to your like herbalism and stuff and like light work there, sort of spending some time. I don't know if you have like notes or anything that you have on that front.
Yeah, I was curious about that as well. I'm wondering if just for the sake of easing the fictional positioning, either Bridget might have had something or might have been able to pick something up from the spy network, or with the money they gave us, like yeah, just a little like a bundle of notes that
Yeah, like a
Estevao
little
can either, because I
folio
don't,
primer.
yeah, I don't think I'm gonna get any herbs here in the middle of the ocean.
Well, that's actually what I'm segueing into this scene
Oh.
here. I think there is a like heavy boots that I kind of like thunk down to this lower deck. There's like a particular like surly sailor, like very like weathered complexion, but like the ruddiness in his cheeks is more due to alcohol than it is just the windburn. And kind of like has like sway to him, to someone who is not, this guy has, it would be steady as a rock on a ship. He's swaying because he is drunk. And he just like kind of just is off to the side, like stewing, like looming over you before he actually speaks. You're aware of his presence, and he's just like, you are a remedy maker.
A physician,
Ah, yes, physician. You know how to make concoctions, what unguents, salves.
Estevan like looks up at him and like wants to qualify that he's not, that he's, you know, studying, but judging by this man's demeanor, he just goes, "What can I help you with?"
And it takes you a moment, probably, because I can't imagine that you are on like the most familiar terms with every sailor in this ship. But this is the ship's quartermaster. And he says, "There are a few of us who have taken ill, a few of us, myself included, who are sometimes put a little too deep into our cups. And at the risk of to avoid being chewed out by the captain again, I was wondering, you claim to be knowledgeable. We have some supply in the ships, herbals, basic supplies bound for Bordeaux. But if you think you can make use of it to better the state of the crew, I have considered and I'd be willing to let you utilize some of these stores. Discretion, of course. The captain does not need to know."
Of course, I'll see what you have. And he just picks up the bundle of notes. Show me these stores and anything I can use.
Yeah, you can go ahead and attempt your intellect plus craft test here, which will sort of
Okay.
reflect the usefulness of what you find. I'm gonna say that because you're working with like an entire like ship's like cargo worth, I will give you advantage on this test, and
Oh,
you're aiming for a
interesting.
21. Yeah, because
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff on this ship. I can't imagine that there's gonna be a lot in this the way that is useful, but like the bulk of one crate is probably even better than like an afternoon like looking for herbs along the roadside. You know what I mean? So yeah, you can roll this with advantage.
Okay, 3d10, two highest, and plus seven, and that is 21 on the dot.
Fucking perfect. What's your intellect attribute again? It's plus four.
Plus four, yeah.
Yeah. The four remedies that you'll get from this are just in your stock now. They are not representative of anything you're using for this crew. Just narratively, you succeed here. Kind of just like, I don't know, if you want to like give yourself a little vignette here about bettering your craft and like maybe even tending to some people on the ship, I'd love to hear it.
Sure. Yeah, we get this helpful little montage of Estevao like going through the ship's stock. And I think for the sailors, it's like, okay, oranges. No, these will be useful. I'll make a paste. Actually for hangovers and stuff, it wouldn't be a paste. It would be something they can like add to their grog, their drink. For the Templars, he has been wanting to try out this formula to make a cream or a paste, and his eyes light up when he sees a little tiny box that appears out of place from the other, like the big giant ship loading crates. There is this like smaller box and it's got like red paint on it. There's actually like care put into this box's creation. It's not just storage. And we see Elias or Estevao walk over to it and open it up. And it's almost like the Pulp Fiction, like his eyes light up. We don't see what's inside, but then the camera turns around and or he doesn't the camera doesn't turn around. He like reaches inside and picks up a stick of cinnamon. And he's just like, I can do so many things with this. But he winds up making essentially like an early version of Tiger Balm, a cream that can be applied to joints. And we see him, mortar and pestle, mixing little bits of fat. He goes and checks the notes. Cool, we can do that. And then a couple little jars later. And a one very nice smelling workroom that the greatest giveaway that there is something going on in this space is it smells very strongly of like orange rind and cinnamon. And I think We have some hangover cures for the sailors, and we have some pain relieving cream for our Templars.
Torben, now that you are no longer being actively pursued, you don't have the French dogs at your heels, and much of the immediate presence of that is out of your periphery. You're in the open sea. So when you sleep, the vivid nightmares are probably returning in full. Now that your mind is no longer has the act of distraction, what is a bit of your insight into the sort of nightmares Torben has recurring?
Despite Torben's attitude and kind of professed nonchalance about all the killing he does, and it's not gentle, it's not clean or humane. I don't think anyone could do all the things he's done and not have it weigh on him. And that's where it comes out in his dreams. Even if he thinks he's in the right, even if he believes that he is in a very coarse way helping these foes meet their gods, he's human.
Human indeed. There is one night as you lay in a hammock below decks, slumped, sort of half in, half out, one arm fallen to the deck below, a cup probably still cradled there, your cheeks flush from drink. You are restless in the throes of some violent haze, the cost of so much blood. And then, in the midst of that red field where the bodies have piled high, shouting after you, there is a glimmer of light through the autumnal sky, a small sunbeam, warm and inviting. In the nightmare, it feels almost like an invitation. If you wish to accept it, you must believe that it is worth taking and spend a faith point. Otherwise, the nightmare will continue as is normal.
I will spend my one faith point on that.
What does that look like to sort of accept what this light is reaching out to you with?
It could be the Valkyries. It could be his path to where he always has wanted to go. So it could also be all the maybe Elias's faith is getting to him. This could be the light of this other god. But whatever it is, he everything he's done, all the people he's killed, all the violence and carnage, if there isn't some reward at the end of it, then he's a monster. So he has to take this.
Yeah. And when you do, you are lifted from the field of blood. And what happens next is entirely left in your dream. It is quickly falls through the sieve of your waking mind, left in kind of like a muddle. But what you will recall is just various symbolic snippets, these like fragmented visions of dream logic of Elias standing resplendent as the stars and sun wheel overhead, like the rolling like the rolling wheel of a carriage on hill, just with great speed, stars, sun, moon spinning over nearby. You see Estevao poised over some book inside some dark chamber, haggard and tired. You see hounds barking and following at your trail. You see a lot of things, and it is a staggering amount of stuff that just is quickly fallen away. But you do walk away from this dream, maybe like rouse your, you know, kind of like wake up from it, like in a cold sweat. Your drunkenness almost sort of like burned from your system by the sheer like elevated heart rate. Your body just absolutely, the adrenaline kicking in. You have two things that you wake up from this particular dream with. One, even if Torben doesn't understand it yet, you have some sort of insight of the future. And you can invoke that insight, which will allow you to automatically succeed on a test that due to some like foreknowledge of an event you glimpsed in that. Now, this is an act of foresight in the rules, which normally you must use this before the Sabbath. I will say for this vision in particular, it's just you can use it whenever. There's not like a timeline when you can use it by. But the second thing you walk away from, Torben has this like sense of like, oh, maybe I can like reconnect to like this presence in my dream. Maybe it's an out of my nightmares. Maybe there's something there for me, like some connection to like to glory or something like that. You have the ability to commit acts of foresight now, which requires a, you can do it once per week. You must spend at least an hour in prayer at a like significant holy site. Like a cathedral, temple, or chapel is fine, but like some kind of like small altar or shrine is not. Just needs to be a significant sacred place. And if you do that, there is like a test involved, and you spend a faith point and you can see if you can learn some visions. This one's for free this time, aside from the faith point. No test required. But you kind of have this like lingering sense of visions now, some sort of prophecy, who knows? And I don't know necessarily how to describe this, so I'll just say, Torben, you would have the sense somehow that this possibly relates, or is at least in the same sphere of influence as that near-death experience you had, the moonlit lady by the water's edge who told you to seek Avalanus. There's something similar there. But anyway, there's a little vignette there. And sounds like we need a vignette between Elias and Estevao because we had something in mind there, some sort of scene that was proposed, unless we don't want to do that yet.
I'm fine with it, unless Torben and Estevao want to have a moment.
I'm fine with whatever.
So we're gonna do the Elias scene first then, if that's the
Yeah,
vibe.
sure. How do you think, Kevin, how do you think Estevao has been like treating Elia? Is it like avoiding whenever he can, or is it like just how he always would, or how are they doing right now?
Unless the narrative has specific needs, I don't see much need for a particular change. Estevao is very cat-like. He's disinterested in anything except for what he's actively interested in the moment. And for the most part on this ship, it seems to be these athletics games most of the time, and this research work that he's been doing, the rest. So he definitely hates being cooped up, and I think as a result, as a tangential result of that, he's been avoiding Elia. But it's not like a it's not like a school yard like I'm avoiding you. No, it's just been kind of coincidental there. Incidental there.
How do you feel like framing this? Maybe you're doing your research and Elia is like coming to bring you some food or some drink. Because I imagine that Estevao is sometimes the kind of person who like forgets to like eat or drink because he's like so invested in the research, right?
Absolutely, especially if this is like when he's making his first test batch of this salve, he would absolutely 110% skip ration distribution or
Yeah, and
dinner.
I think Elia, in that case, we'll see him approach above deck, or are you doing this like
I get the sense that this sort of secluded area is probably below decks.
Yeah. I think Elia is doing that thing where he like enters and then like isn't sure how he's going to be received, so he kind of like lingers in the doorway as if to wait for some kind of permission from you to proceed.
Yeah, Estevao will be like writing furiously in this little herbalist notebook that he's somehow acquired. But he has this like white paste in front of him in a little bowl, and he like reaches down and like sniffs out a little bit. And like long period of time before he even notices Elia's in the doorway. Elia, come in, come in.
I brought you dinner. It seemed like you were busy with something.
I am. Are you sore anywhere by chance?
Everywhere. This boat is the worst.
Here, I'm working on this. The room, of course, smells very strongly of ginger, pepper, and cinnamon. So yeah, it smells like gingerbread in here. He scoops a little bit of it with a probably a little spoon into a little jar and hands it to Elia and says, not in front of me, but whenever you feel like, just rub this on the muscles where it hurts, and tell me if it changes, if it goes away or anything. And then he notices the dinner. Thank you. There's no window down here. I just lose track of time, I think. And I was so close to getting this done. It simply couldn't wait.
Right. Would it go unwholesome? He like looks at it like, I don't know what this is, man. It smells so much.
No, it's not that. It's I'm simply so close to getting it finished. I didn't want to take a break.
You figured this out by yourself. I don't think there were books on this where
I certainly didn't figure it out by myself. I'm standing on the shoulders of giants. The accumulated knowledge of the world stands before us. We just have to know how to find it and hope that it was recorded at some point in time.
That's what you're doing. I like gesture at the notebook.
Muscle remedies. I remember the Grandmaster, well, not himself personally, but I remember there being an herbalist at the temple, and part of healing is the application of salves and unguents. And well, we don't have a temple or an herbalist to come back to, so but we still have to fight.
We do. And if anyone's going to figure this out, even on their own, you'll do it.
Right. Thank you again for dinner. Something has been actually bugging me. In the basement of your family's estate, there was that relief. We found the secret door. There was a word on it. It's Avalona, Ava. Arab.
Avalonus, I think. is what you said.
That sounds right, yes. Avalanus, do your family ever mention anything about it?
I
Before you
think
were
you.
a Templar, of course.
I
Or
think
after.
you see Elia like going, like immediate tension. And he'll put down. I think he'll like sort of dip his finger in the salve that you made and kind of apply it on his wrist, like more to be doing something than because his wrist was sore necessarily. And you can see, I think, an array of emotions as he just says.
Here, no, you can't really dab it. You have to, and Estival takes Elia's hand and wrist and like clockwork clockwise, like gently like massages the salve into the tendons.
Elia prays that in the dark you don't see him blush, but he'll just sit there and let you. My family didn't. I don't think they told me much.
I see. I wonder why that is.
My father always said that the time wasn't right, that he would tell me when I was ready to be the true heir. I don't know what he was waiting for, but it was something. But then he decided that it would be better for me to be with the Templars, so I went.
I see.
Whatever it was, it's. I told you, it's an old house.
I gathered as much. It's probably nothing important, really. But if you remember anything, let me know.
I. Justine might know more. If we get back to land, if you wish to know more, then as your friend, I shall take it upon me as a duty to help you however I may, and I could try and write her and see if she knows more.
Your friend. Did not
Is that
realize
not what we are?
I did not realize I was so afforded highly in your esteem.
Of course you are. We are companions.
Bound together by a quest to deliver the Holy Grail.
Bound together on a quest and such high grace in God's name, how could we not be the truest of friends? That is why I know that you will do nothing with this knowledge to hurt me or my family.
Of course. I don't know what the knowledge is. I don't know what I can do with it, but certainly don't intend harm with it, except perhaps to our enemies.
Why is it so important to you?
That's the thing I don't really know. But in the same way that you know the sun is important when you see it, you certainly would miss it in its absence. It's just a feeling, I suppose.
Yes.
I'm also curious why they chose that name and that symbol for a secret door. Call it professional curiosity.
And you can see that he's like uncomfortable and like trying not to show you. And he nods and says, yes, I suppose once you are presented with a question, you have no recourse but to try and find an answer to it. That is
Suppose.
your nature.
Oh, I see. Am I so easy to read then?
Well, if not that, then I suppose I don't know why you wish to pursue a path that is potentially so hurtful. It cannot be that you wish to hurt me, so I must assume that there is another reason that you are so interested in this question.
Because possibly the people that destroyed your family and our Templar Order are interested in it, and if they're interested in it, I need to know why.
As I said, then it is my duty to help you.
As a friend.
Yes, as your friend.
That's beautiful. We can end the scene there. Let's take a 5 minute break, and then if there's something else, we will have you arrive in Bordeaux the following month.
No more scenes.
Oh,
I
yeah.
just do want to note that
Oh,
Elia talked about Bridget like every other
all the
day.
time? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, just like all the fucking time.
I utterly believe that. All right. So, after better part of a month at sea, you arrive in Bordeaux, in the English territories. It is the 18th of November. The weather steadily getting colder. Winter is approaching. And when you arrive in Bordeaux, you can disembark. You can begin to find your next steps to continue your journey. And we have nothing to really zoom in on or address in Bordeaux, particularly. I'm ready to just talk about the route ahead, about whether you're going to be traveling by road or if you intend to hoof it across more untracked territory to be safer. It is about a week's trek as the crow flies, from Bordeaux. If you went off the beaten path, it would be a bit longer and perhaps even more dangerous, depending on what sort of hazards are out there along the main roads, bandits, brigands. Unlikely that you'll have the harrying French forces. But the question remains, how dedicated are the Teutonics to finding you? And does their reach even extend here? Who knows? But all the same, I would like to know if we are planning on traveling predominantly over the major tradeways from Bordeaux, or if you will just hoof it, cut through forests, small villages, and just move with expeditious purpose. Who has an idea?
I think Elia would prefer to just stay off the main tradeways because it feels like we've done really well in shaking them off. So there's no reason to potentially get word back out there. I think he'll be like, let's make the most of this and just keep as stealthy as we can. And also, if it's faster, like, why not, right?
Which one's faster, using the main roads or cutting?
The cutting is faster. Obviously, just cut has the hazard of just cutting off the main road and just kind of hoofing it and being a little bit more reliant on the day to day.
Yeah, I'm fine cutting through the wilderness. Why not?
Great.
Torben would agree.
I love it. Well, journeying time then, you can prepare some provisions, basic supplies, and just get ready to leave the city and just go through there. The way that Explora tests work is we make them every morning and every evening while you're traveling through any unfamiliar territory or a territory that does not have major roads or passages. I will say that I am counting. Sort of like once you're out of the like immediate vicinity of Bordeaux, it just becomes like, all right, and now we're in the open. So what we do on the explore test, it is the explore skill comes into play. Still, someone will select an attribute. Only one person needs to roll, but there can be aid, possibly if people if skills or whatever line up. And on a failure, there is a consequence you will suffer that I pick from a list. And if you succeed, you get a benefit from a list that I'll read when we're kind of triggering the move here. I actually don't believe. Yeah, there is not a default written like standalone difficulty for every single explore test, which makes sense because different terrain is going to be harder than others. So for the sake of where we're at now, this initial kind of explore test in the outskirts of Bordeaux, beginning your journey, that is only going to be, where's my table? I'll just say this leg of it is fairly trivial. It's open fields, it's sort of like farms, you're keeping things light. So that's a 12. Who is going to be making the explore test for the group?
Is it codified what the stat is, like intellect explore?
You get to pick that. It is just definitively the explore skill,
Okay.
which I believe Esavow has a plus one in.
Yeah, and everybody else is plus zero. So I feel like it makes most sense for Estevao to use either quickness or intellect plus explore. That gets us our best chance.
Yeah, I guess it depends on which one colors the fiction in the way that you find most correct. Whether it's Esavow is leading the expedition with great speed, or if he's really more like determined, like survivalist knowledge, using the terrain, like maps, some rough maps that he prepared in advance. Who knows? Where do you see this needle pointing? It doesn't matter mechanically because it's the same number, but I'm curious just for the fiction.
Given that we're not like actively fleeing pursuits, I feel like intellect makes more sense, and
Makes
it's
sense.
more along the lines of like, this is a valley. There's probably a stream. That means fresh water. We can top off our supplies, things of that nature. Or we can follow this, or things like that.
I'm into it. Then please, by all means, go ahead and make a explore test plus your intellect difficulty 12.
14.
Incredible. You get to pick one of the following benefits. You either overcome an obstacle and make some good progress on our journey, which an obstacle, we can talk about what that looks like. You either evade your enemies, or you find a path and switch to a travel journey, having found like a major thoroughfare for a period of time.
Do you guys have any suggestions? Like a travel, like a switching to a travel would obviously speed us along a lot faster. We are only at one pursuit point, so evading pursuit is not huge, or evading our enemies is not really a major factor. And what was the first one?
You overcome an obstacle and make good journey on your make good progress. An obstacle in this case would probably look like, because I didn't preface this with the territory. There's nothing huge obstacle wise in this first leg of things. I would say the big one is sort of a thing that was already mentioned by Jazzy, which is like being like seen and being like because the populated area of Bordeaux, and like that any degree of like word getting back of like people passing through here, very minor risk in this part of the world, but it's still like a minor obstacle that you are able to overcome somehow.
Yeah, I think that sounds good to me.
Yeah, you guys, the intellect angle works really well here, of just like you kind of just evade and stick to your own little corner, moving and being more selective in your path, so you're not really crossing any, like, I imagine, like, we see a scene where you're, like, you're walking on, like, a country road, and, like, around the bend, you hear, like, a wagon coming around, and whether or not the person is just a humble farmer or someone well-meaning, Esval still decides, we're gonna step off the path, we're gonna hide, we're just gonna, like, kind of, like, crouch down, we're gonna let people pass. Does that check out for you? I'm into it.
Absolutely, yeah.
And this first stage kind of, like, passes with you guys hoofing it. How much does Elias hate this.
I think he was like very valiant and like, this is a smart plan, let's do it. And like, there is an undercurrent of him like still sort of wanting to show Torben that he's like not this frivolous nobleman, but he is a true Templar and he's trying, but he fucking hates it. I think it's like this combo of like, he thinks it's kind of exciting and fun, but then also like the reality, especially I think like the more the day goes on and like we're getting gross and tired and annoyed. And I think he starts to think like, oh, wouldn't it be nice to just end the day at a good inn or a bathhouse? But no, he can do this. This is what God wants.
And you pass, you know, you give whole wide berths to villages. Eventually, by the end of your first day, you're sort of like getting into the environs of like forested land and following hunting trails or smaller thoroughfares, like village roads, and you're out there. And so I need you to make another explore test for the evening, representing the end of the day's journey. This can still be with intellect. I still think it covers, and it'll be relatively trivial still because we're still in the early territory. So it's still a 12. So you can roll the exact same thing before.
Does anybody else want to roll, or do you want to keep playing to win
Yeah,
here?
entirely up to you guys.
Go ahead.
Okay, all right. 2d10 plus 5. It is a 12.
12 on the dot. I can tell you there are no obstacles to overcome in this part of the forest. And this is a thing where I'm going to actually make a home rule real quick because these benefits are somewhat limited. So one of the things I'm going to say is one of the general benefits is I'm going to add to the list because one of the consequences I can invoke if you fail is that you run out of food. And I'm going to say that you find you one of the options I think I'll present you here now is you have a bit of extra food, whether it's foraged or hunted, is like a bit of like a padding on top of it. So if you ran out of food, you would have like a day's left before, like if you took that previous benefit. Like you have a little bit of like extra surplus that you can find in addition to the other benefits. Thankfully, you have no enemies to evade at this moment. And still, you could also find a path if you wanted to switch to a travel journey or find food.
Yeah, let's go ahead and say we find some food.
Yeah, doesn't even necessarily have to be Esteval, the one who is the receiver of that benefit. It could be Torben or Elias who is, you know, kind of finding something. Yeah, Elias can hunt for a bit, as Jez, you just typed out there. Very, very simple, and some making some camp. I love it. The next day. Oh, and actually, hold on. I forgot. This technically would trigger downtime because we're in the wilderness. This is a safe location that you're camping in, which you are able to take wilderness downtime actions, one each night. You can try to conceal your trail to reduce pursuit points by one. It's currently at one, so not the most heavy. You can pray to recover faith points. You're all, after that long journey, should be maxed out on your stamina. Your health is back to normal, so you don't need to recover health. Or you can train, which allows you to give yourselves advantage once during the following day. What would each of you like to do resting at camp this evening?
I'll train explorer,
Great.
prep for the next day.
Love it.
And the advantage only lasts for one day.
Yes.
I'll pray.
Oh, I love it.
Well, then
What?
Elia must join him.
Then
Damn
both of
it.
you can make a faith plus religion test. Difficulty is 15.
Could we then aid each other because we're both praying together?
Well, Yes, one of you can aid the other as long as one of you has the plus two in the stat of or the
I
skill.
do. I'm a religious boy.
I don't think Torben does, but yeah, no, S. Elias can absolutely help Torben. Absolutely. You get to choose the benefit of whether he gets advantage on the roll or if he gets to add your skill in place. Let me, it's been a minute since we did the aid, so let me just find that real quick. Aid, yes, you can either grant him advantage or you can add your skill to the total up to a maximum of plus four, or you can allow him a re-roll.
Do you have a preference, Ben? Which one do you think is more useful?
Probably advantage.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Take advantage.
All right.
All right. So, you make a challenge 15 test, Torben. Same with you, Elias. You have advantage, Torben. Religion plus faith.
Thank you. 14 and doubles.
Four, so it's a critical, but it's
Or
unfortunately not
sorry.
enough.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
And I don't have a faith point. Yep. Okay.
Oh,
Alas.
I have 13 plus 6.
Okay,
19.
you may regain a faith point. I like this what this colors though. Let's have a little brief scene here where it sounds like you two pray together, but Torben, maybe you're frustrated or there's just some kind of like, I don't know. And since you're two together doing this, let's have a little scene kind of exploring Torben's experience here.
Torben's going to make the right noises, but he was really hoping for some alone time with his prayer. And but he can't say no when Elia offers to come with. That would be rude and suspicious. So he just kind of goes along with it and he sits there. And I think every time Elia has his eyes closed, you see Torben just like
Yeah, and I think Elia, for his part at least, was like super hyped when Torben, because I imagine like this was like one of the few times that maybe Torben was like, I'm gonna pray, and Elia was like, oh my God, it's happening. So he was like super hype about it. And I think he is kind of like, I think he can tell that Torben is like frustrated, but he's in his mind like, oh yeah, long journey, it's been tiring. Totally get it, my man. I'm feeling it too. But he is in this moment, especially like, when he closes his eyes and he sort of hears like the grumbling of Torben's voice over like mingling with his own. He's just having this moment of, we are so connected. We are in this together. I'm having like this really deep bonding moment with Torben. And he's just like really happy about it, honestly. I think after that, like he was. I think he's like the quiet grump sort. Like I think for like as whiny as he is, he tries to, especially towards Torben and Estival, like kind of keep it in. Because he doesn't want to admit that he doesn't like this, because he should be like tough and manly about it, but he's not. But I think like all of that fades and he's just like back to like golden retriever energy, like just very happy about this.
Torben would appreciate that, but there's definitely some he's it's a little strained.
All right, I'm into it. Next day. Intellect plus explore. Difficulty is now 15 for traveling during the day through the woods.
Ready. And advantage, do I get it once or is it the whole day?
It is you use it once for the yeah it lasts the entire day, but you can only use it once. So,
Okay, well,
yeah.
might as well go ahead and burn it now.
I guess so.
Keep the highest two. It is still plus five. Only 14.
You find yourself getting lost in the forests of Gascony, south of Bordeaux. The woods are dense and tangled, and despite the better side of your preparations, you lose a sense of where you're going, and you are forced to make camp. Night will fall. Despite being lost tonight, there's a quiet campsite, a calm meal, and some solitude. Maybe, despite the rigors of the day, you can find your center and take the time to prepare for the next leg of your journey with a better mind to navigate. Throughout the night, once the sun is low and the stars are overhead, there are just hellish howls that constantly rouse you all from your slumber, interrupting sleep. The fire burns low.
Ooh.
Constantly. You have no rest. The howls are constant. What are you all doing?
I think after a couple hours of that, when everyone's up, Torben's just gonna howl back.
It's just echoing. And now you really can't sleep because Torben's gone off his fucking rocker.
Come on, let's can't beat them, join them.
We can't join wolves, Torben.
Why not?
They're not Christian.
So we'll baptize them, and then we can sing with them.
Estival
Very
about
well.
just rolls over and continues to try to sleep.
I think Elia will join Torbus.
You join in of just very loud howling. Estival, there's no way you're sleeping tonight. And even Monsieur Nivelle would. Monsieur Nivelle? Where's your cat? He
Oh
just curled up
no.
to you earlier, but he's not here. You don't see him around the camp.
Part of me wants to worry because it feels like this is something we as players should be worried about. Part of me wants Estival to be like, he goes off on his own. He's a cat. He'll come back when he wants to.
Up to you.
Oh, wait, there's a bunch of howling wolves. Yeah, we should be concerned about that. So Estevao will rouse and
What's interesting, though, I'll say is that even though you've heard this constant howling, you've never heard multiple wolves howling at the same time. Just one howl constantly.
huh. I think that's curious and interesting, and obviously we as players are definitely jiving with what that probably is. But no, Estevao's gonna go into the woods and look for Monsieur Nivelle, probably in the direction of the howling.
Well, the
Just
howling's not current. It's now currently just Elias and Torben notably howling. You have not heard additional howls, but you do walk off and go look for Monsieur Nivelle. It's a short walk from camp beyond the threshold of the dim firelight, where you can see a reflective pair of eyes from a nearby branch. Monsieur Nivelle, up in the crook of a tree, hackles raised to high heaven and back arched and just like, and clearly distressed.
There you are. What has got you all roused up?
Back at camp.
Yeah, I think Estevao, by the way, Estevao, once he's not going to wander off like Ars naked. He's probably putting on his chainmail and has, you know, crossbow and sword at least with him.
Mm-hmm. Back at camp. As Elias and Torben howl just wildly into the woods, we see reflective eyes stalking from the shadows, unseen by them. Labored breathing. Its eyes linger from its POV. We see stalking in the darkness, looking at the two of them. Its eyes linger on the sack Elias has put the grail in. It looks at the supplies and it launches out of the woods and attacks.
What launches out of the woods?
Well, you don't see it at first. So it's going to do, it'll launch its attack. And then we're going to talk about what it looks like. But first of all, let me just pull this up real quick. Yep, boop, 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 boo. Because this foe is fast, always goes first in combat before initiative is drawn. Just reminding myself of this real quick. Where did my note go? I had a pulling up my document. Ah, there it is. It launches out and it's going to attack Elias. It does this as a charging attack against you, launching out of the woods. This massive shape darts and attacks, absolutely catching you off guard. This is where my die roller go. There it is. All right. That's disadvantage on this, thankfully. That is a 22 against your defense. Oh, wait, no, sorry.
Yeah,
no, sorry, I apologize, not 22. It is a 29 against your defense. I'm bad at math.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Okay, I see. That is 22 points of stamina damage that ignores damage reduction entirely.
I mean, I assume I'm not wearing my chainmail and shield anyway, nope. So I'm at zero.
And I will let you know right now, this thing is not attacking to kill. It is very specifically attacking and knocking you out. That is its intent. Keep in mind that because this immediately makes you mark a, because this is over your threshold, you must mark a condition. I'm telling you its intent just to better color the idea of like, you could choose to be stunned and keep fighting, or you could just decide I am, because if you mark stunned twice, you'll unconscious. But you don't necessarily, this thing is not looking to kill you, so you can keep that in mind.
Yeah, but I feel like narratively, the only honest thing I can do here is mark broken limb. Like, it comes at me with such ferocity and strength. And I imagine if it is something wolf-like or if it wants to drag me off, it's going for an arm to, like, latch onto, and we just hear it shatter. Ooh. Like, you're gonna do 20, what was it, 22, 29 damage to me in one go. I feel like I need to be honest here. That's not stunned. That's fucked up.
It is fucked up. And That was its first action, and it does get two. And then it throws an attack, a furious blow at Torben. That is a 30 against your defense.
Okay, my defense of 15.
And it is successful. He will roll his damage twice and take the highest result. However, its defense is now 10. First damage result. Is really bad. That is a critical maxed for so that's 20 plus 5, 25. And this is a brutal foe. It deals not double damage on criticals, triple damage on criticals. And I think this is the only reasonable thing that can happen to you here is that you are utterly immediately knocked unconscious just by how brutal this attack is. Unless, I mean, I'm not gonna steal your player agency, because that's what I feel like the fiction makes sense to me. But like, if you decide, no, fuck it, I'm marking a condition, I'm gonna keep try, I'm gonna stay up, you can certainly do that as well, because this is immediately just rendering you like out in a brutal and fast attack. Whatever narratively you're more interested in, and again, not killing you, it's knocking you out.
I think I'll take a broken limb
As well.
first. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The humiliation of being taken out in the first. Torben's
It
already been there.
stomped over the campfire in its sudden ambush, quenching what little flames were still dwindling, and there's just embers now plunging the campsite into darkness. But through the pain and the shock, the adrenaline beating through your system, you see something massive and bipedal, all fury, bound sinew and gnashing teeth, eyes reflecting in the dark. I guess we need to draw initiative since the two of you are still up. Let's set up a where did the combat tab go? Thank you. Oh, maybe I saw that left over from last time. There are three of you. And this stalking beast is indomitable, which means it has another token added to the bag. First up is a Templar. And I want to say, and I'm factoring Estevao into this bag just because. You didn't go off into the deep woods. You only went a short stint away. But that does mean I'm going to say that you are like two zones away, kind of like having like walked out of the vicinity of camp in like the nearby woods. You can hear something happen, and then like the campfire light just goes like fucking out. Monsieur Nivelle is hissing and howling. So that's where you're going to be at. And one of you gets to go first. Who will it be?
I'll take Torben.
All right,
I
Torben.
get those three actions, so
Yes, you do. You're, armorless. You are which limb of you? Are you saying broken leg is what we were saying, just because of the nature of the condition, or just some kind of like fracture or wound? Or like a broken
let's
arm?
go with how do we feel about ribs and get
Ooh, I
some
like that.
big
Yeah,
crunch.
just so you can like when you breathe, there's that spike of pain and just moving laboriously. It's just like there's like a bee's hive just in your chest. You feel this rattling wet cough. Yeah, it's bad. There was a crunch there. Your vision's getting a little black at the edges.
Could I spend one of my actions to grab my longsword?
Yes, absolutely. You could scramble in the campsite to grab your longsword. That would be an action.
That still leaves me with two. So first one's going to be an attack. With my longsword, that is boo boo. 15.
You did.
15 is not high enough for its defense. Narrate the round. That looks like. Oh, what's up?
Can I invoke my foresight to succeed on that?
Oh, yeah. I would allow that. I'd allow that. Absolutely. You need to narrate the vision that sticks out to you that allows you to succeed here.
I think in that vision, he had assumed that it was part of the dream. This was a vision from the stories of the Vargr and Fenrir. And then when this happened, when he saw Elia go splayed out on the ground, he realized that this was no simple dream. This was a warning. So knowing which way this creature is going to move, he can counter it. He changes his trajectory at the last second to get past its defenses. And so the damage on that would be, come on, 18.
18. Incredible. Good to know. But in that case, yeah, you strike true. That was your second action. You still get a third.
Oh, he's going to do it again. He's Torben. Let's roll to hit 16.
Not enough. In that case, then, this thing is fast and moves with a preternatural fury. It is big, too. And even in the shadows, you can just smell the fur, the breath, a light tinge of blood, the claws, the teeth, the saliva spackling against your face. It moves with fury, and your strike does not hit true. Who is the next Templar that appears next? Estevao or Elias?
Could be
Elias, you want
Elias,
to
unless you want Estevao to do something.
get... I mean, I don't have anything particularly creative to do. So if you have Elias wanting to either like take a defensive action or something.
Alex, wasn't his defense 10?
Oh,
Because he
yes.
got
Fuck, it was.
furious?
Oh, it was. It absolutely was. It absolutely was. It would only be fair to say that you should have regained you still have your vision, because
Right.
I still like the narrative of it being a warning in there, but it should. So both of those would have hit. Fucking every time I forget about this.
Every time we do
Every time
this,
I forget about this.
every single time we do this.
It's because I'm always just like, and all right, moving on. And then I forget. Oh wait, shit, hold on, his defense is 10. What I'm forgetting, yeah.
What are crunchy games like? I'm
I
used to
don't
just like one dice roll
yeah.
for a whole combat.
And the thing is, like, I would barely, this game barely scratches the crunchy territory. Because there's a couple of things where I'm like, oh, fuck, wait, I got to engage with my tactical game brain for this.
Okay, so I'll roll damage on that second hit then.
Yes, you will.
18.
Oh, my
That's
God.
twice maxed.
Fuck
Cool.
yeah.
I love
Fuck
this
yeah.
die roller.
This is our old
It's
time,
so
great.
good.
Yeah. that's so you've done a total of 36 damage to this thing. Fucking brutal, Torben. All right. Now you said we're gonna do Estevao next or Elias next?
I think we said Elia.
Okay, Elia, then you'll go.
I do have two actions. Would it be fair for me to say, because I mentioned, like, one hand in the maul, we like see the teeth, they're just like fully going through the bone, it's dragging me away. But would it be fair that with my other hand, I can grab like some sort of weapon?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I'll grab a mace and hopefully get this thing's defense down. For my first action, I would like to. I mean, there's no dislodge action. So I'll
It
just.
as a note, the mace, yes, it does not get its defense down, it gets its damage reduction down. So
Okay. Quite.
But also, this thing's
Still
not
not.
wearing armor, and
Yeah, so
so
that's probably not
I
useful.
don't think that's useful in this. I think this is one of those cases where it's like the fiction would that would not make sense. There is
Yeah, I
a
thought it got like defense down.
I
That's it.
know what would reduce its damage reduction. But
It's
I'm not
I mean
sure.
silver, yeah, but
What are you talking about? It's a big wolf. I don't know what you're
I
talking
don't think we have
about. You
anything
can't
that is
see it.
silver, though.
You just see a big hairy guy.
Yeah.
Also weak to silver.
Also,
Also weak to
he
silver.
has like a metal allergy.
Yeah. I
Yeah,
mean,
standing next to him is a
even
werewolf. Yeah.
being that as it may, though, I don't think we have anything from silver.
Yeah,
We're
no.
poor. I think that I'll grab an axe because I think a long sword is probably. Like, yeah, that doesn't help me now in this position. Yeah, let's say I grab my axe. Is that an action to grab it?
I'll say that Torben did take an action to grab his weapon because he was caught off guard. So it would only be fair for me to tell you that it is you need to like maneuver and grab it, and that takes a bit of your time.
That is fair indeed.
Yeah, I think that's just fair here.
Okay. Can Estevao see and hear me?
Well, because the campfire was plunged at, like was like stomped out by this thing, I think at most Estevao would only be able to like hear you and maybe like in scant moonlight through the trees catch your like silhouette, but it would be difficult to do so.
That's fine. I just need him to hear me
Yeah,
for the
that's
bold
he.
leader move to trigger.
Oh yeah, then he's
Because
completely
it
fine.
says you may grant an ally who can hear or see you. So if he
Yep,
can
Estevao can hear
hear
you.
me, I will immediately call out. And I will tell Estevao to get to higher ground so that you can be dragged away by this thing and you can support us from there. So I'm like basically shouting so you can like get our position. And I think narratively what I'm doing, because I that will be the action. I basically like I grab the axe. This is my next action. I can use a bolt leader ability. I'm also going to spend a faith point. So Estevao, you get an extra action for this. Like I basically swap my action for you, so you get an extra action. I'm going to spend a faith point, and I'm going to give Torben an extra action next round as well. So you would have four next time. And I think sort of narratively, yeah, I'm immediately like, I mean, shout of pain. Then I'm immediately like yelling commands as Estevao to get higher ground, don't get caught off guard. And I think with my ex, basically, if there is like some sort of moonlight that's filtered through, I'm holding it up to just give Estevao like enough of a point, knowing that he's like such a skilled sharpshooter, that having that little glint is enough for him to take aim. So I'm not attacking, I'm just using it to give Estevao like a point to shoot at. And that will be me.
All right. And then now is the stalking beast who sees you doing this, Elias, and attacks you. That is, wow, I rolled very low. That is only a 15. But I believe that hits you because you're not wearing any armor. Unless I'm mistaken.
Armor
Armor is damage
only
reduction. Not
is
armor, sorry, not
damage
armor.
reduction.
So
Yeah, my
no.
defense is 16, so that does not hit
Oh,
me actually.
I think it like bears down on you and you're able to maneuver out of the way. It is then going to do another one against you. Okay, that's a 31.
That doesn't hit me. My defense is 35. No, that totally hits
Great.
me.
Okay, cool. So you'll take another condition as it lays into you. Thankfully, no criticals here.
I think this time I will take stunt.
Yeah. It like I think it like picks you up and like just snarls rancid breath in your face and then throws you across the campsite and you like hit the ground and you roll like your head. This is like ringing. Your vision's already like disoriented from the darkness and the overall attack, and you're just seeing double. It then stalks over. Snatches the grail bag in its claws, like looking at it. And its eyes slowly turn to Torben. Estevao or Torben, who goes now? Or
Has
sorry, no, sorry, no, sorry. Only Estevao can go now. My
yeah.
bad. Or Torben already went. Estevao, you can go.
Cool. And it's had an action, so its defense is back up to like
Yep,
normal,
it's
right?
back up to
Cool.
normal.
But I have three actions. So I'm going to move one zone closer, which should put us in adjacent zones,
Yep,
correct?
adjacent zones.
Cool. And we're gonna crossbow, try to hit it with a crossbow bolt.
Okay. I think you
Or
would, I think, well, it's nighttime, and so even with Elias's action, it Elias's action renders it not impossible, but you'll have disadvantage on shooting at this thing in the dark.
cool. Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to use the action that Elia granted me to get to high ground. In this case, mechanically, I'm going to use the prepare action to
Oh,
offset
good.
that.
Yeah, I like that a lot. You scramble up into a tree, Monsieur Nivelle style. Hell yeah. Okay, go ahead and make your
And take a
attack.
little longer to aim, or you know, something along those lines. Ranged attack is plus 8, 2d10 plus 8. Here we go. 19. Oh, whoops, I put the
19.
wrong title there.
Oh, 19 is enough.
Righty. And then ranged damage, crossbow 1d10 plus 8. Eighteen, max.
Wow, 18. Very
Dice
nice.
roller is giving us an unreal impression of how well we should be doing.
What does this look like?
Is it still up? Is it like past morale threshold or
Oh, it's definitely nowhere near its morale threshold.
what? In that case, then yeah, I think we just see a bolt, a quarrel come out of the between two branches. If mechanically speaking, it has grabbed the grail bag, then it still holds on to it. But I think like the quarrel like goes through its
Oh, I
forearm.
love that. Yeah.
And now it just has a crossbow bolt just sticking fully through its forearm.
Absolutely. Goes fully through its forearm. It snarls out and gives this sort of like wolfish, like, oh, like barking, howling sort of like wince, it going to one knee for a moment. You see those reflective eyes staring at you. You can almost feel like the anger boiling off of it in surges. And is that your entire turn?
That is all three of my actions, yes.
Then the stalking beast goes again. It looks after you. It snarls. It just bolts off into the darkness of the woods with fervent speed. It is just moving. It's moving twice, basically. And with Elias and Torben both having broken limbs, could not be able to follow this thing. And it just takes off with the grail into the darkness of night. Elias, your companions aren't moving. Well, you realize they are moving, but they're down and
Oh,
they're.
Elia is moving if the grail is going, and he's like stumbling and screaming
Yeah,
and like
I should
grunting,
say.
but he's moving.
That's fair. Yeah, no, you can look over to the camp and you can see that Torben and Elias are not doing great. But this you lose sight of the shape.
And it's middle of the night, so yeah. Estevao will re-enter camp and stop, you're in no condition. You are in no condition, soldier. To Elia.
We can't let it get away.
You can't stop it. We'll track it in the morning. But you need to get this set.
He looks in the vague direction of where it took off. And then I think there's like an obvious painful resignation, but he will turn back.
Estevao is gonna like try and do the work of like three people and like get the campfire back started, because we need to probably do some suture, like the burning cleansing of the wounds,
Cauterizing.
yeah, cauterizing, and start prepping the area for triage, medical treatment for these two.
Yeah, I think you would actually quickly learn Estevao just by looking at this is like a lot of like the wounds and like they're beat up and like maybe got some scratches on them, but like not a lot of like lethal or even like concerning, well, not a lot of like bleeding injuries either. Like the broken bones is probably like the worst of it, and maybe Elias has a concussion. But first of all, both Torben and Elias, you may both roll a D4 plus your vitality immediately, just from the aftermath of the fight as this thing took off into the woods. And Estevao, you may attempt a difficulty 12 healing test on Elias and Torben, one for each to see if you can triage their broken limbs.
Can I help with that? I have plus five healing.
Oh shit. Yes, you absolutely can help with that. What do you grant him?
Let's go with a reroll.
Okay, so you get a reroll on this, Estevao.
Let me check because I think I can also help.
Nice.
Do do
You
do
do
do.
have plus two.
Healing.
Yep, you do.
I do have a plus two.
Cool.
You got a reroll, then I'll give you advantage.
All right, go ahead and roll for first one, and will be for Elias.
This is
Healing.
intellect plus healing.
Sure, if you think intellect is the one that applies here, yeah. I don't think this is actually honestly like battlefield triage, so it's probably not like a speedy kind of healing. So I think intellect makes the most sense.
Cool. This is plus six. This is first one's gonna be Torben helping Elia. So this is the reroll.
Oh no, you get, they're helping on both of these
You get
checks.
both.
That's
Yeah.
it's utterly yeah, that's utterly allowed. They're helping on all of your healing tests like in unison.
Got
So
it. Okay.
you get both
So
your advantage and you also get a free reroll.
cool. So that's 3d6 keep ties two plus
3d10
six.
keep
3d10,
ties
sorry,
too.
yeah.
Get some crits, boy.
That is a crit.
Nice.
The 14 plus 6, 20
Perfect. Yep.
for Elias
Great,
and
Elias.
for
That
Torben.
broken limb, it is if effectively tended to, it will no longer be an immediate concern for you in the sake of combat, but it's probably not very comfortable.
And then healing for Torben.
Same deal.
18, and that is also a crit.
You get two advancement points from your healing
And
scene
then all
here.
of us got that right because we helped.
You all get an advancement point as well because you helped and he rolled a critical. That's right. All parties involved get advancement points.
There's those crits. Jesus. Cool.
So
Oh,
we
yeah.
get that many vitality points back or
No,
health
no, no, no.
points?
You that unchecked your broken limb
Ah, got it.
condition. You roll a D4 and add your vitality to it. That's how many stamina points you immediately regain after the fight.
Got it.
Yeah.
Also, don't forget your salves.
That's true. You do have
Each
salves
of
if you
you
wanted to.
has a each of you has a salve if you want to use it, or you can hold on to it. They could also be healing potions too. It's narratively that they are what you need them to be. Yeah, and I think we just see Estevao, I think even without like them mechanically using the salves, I think he is using some of this like tincture that he's created, but also much more mundane healing as well, setting bones and at one point he like takes Elia and like holds Elia's eyes a little open and just like stares deeply into them, like checking for a concussion. And then we'll rejoin them at the end of all that, I suppose.
I think this whole time Torben's been just muttering in Danish, just like he's rattled.
Yeah, I think Elia is having a full-blown panic slash PTSD attack here. Like, he's like, I did it again. I messed up again. I lost a grail. I lost a fucking grail. I let my family burn and I lost a grail and God is striking me down. Like, I don't think that he's saying that, but you can all see that he's just like fully out of it.
Yeah,
Like,
asked
you know, I
about.
think when you look in his eyes are just like hypervigilance. They're like going everywhere.
Asked about take some of this like this gingerbread oil and just like rub some of it on Elias's like upper lip. And just says take deep breaths, calm down. You're in a panic attack, you're going into shock.
We have to get the grail back.
We
We have
do.
to move.
We do, but you need to sit down right now, and we will move when soon.
And I think sort of in that like way where he doesn't have the brain space to like fully protest, he will go with you and try to take deep breaths and calm down a little, but then like sort of immediately go to deep. Like deep brooding.
Yeah, and that might be like where Estevao was like, I need your help with Torben. He's got cracked ribs. And, you know, by giving Elia a task, something to focus his mind on, and hopefully some of that Templar training will kick back in to be like, this is something I can do and accomplish right now. Yeah. And then we see all of them get healed. Yay.
Before Torben gets healed, I think he's walking around wide-eyed, and he's like not punching, but he's smacking himself in the ribs, the broken ribs, self-flagellating Torben style.
Yeah, I think after a moment of that, having been given that task by Estevao, I think Elia will say, Torben, Estevao needs you to sit down.
He'll kind of, I think for a second, you think Torben might attack you before he kind of takes some shaky breaths and looking incredibly unhappy about it, he will sit down and refrain from hurting himself.
Next of all, we'll check in for concussion as well. You know, again, like looking for dilated pupils or asking a couple basic questions, typical healer stuff. And but when they're all kind of like patched up, that's when he'll stand back up and try and track this thing.
Go ahead and give me a hunting test, probably with intellect, but if you have a different idea, that's fine. This is challenging, which I believe is a 21. Double
Oh
checking this for
boy,
you.
and neither of you can help me at this
Yeah,
one.
no, sorry, it's an 18. Yeah, challenging. It's an
Oh
18.
boy. Cool. Intellect plus hunt.
I
There's
mean,
no.
Torben could do it and succeed with the vision.
Torben could do that.
I could also help one of you guys with the roll as well. If we think advantage is better than just my raw dice. But you know, I've got a plus six with the sum total versus
Yeah, I get a plus two, so.
Elias is plus three and you're plus two. But I mean, dice are nice. But if Torben, I also like this idea though, if you roll it and it if, even with advantage it fails, then you can use your vision. So why don't we do that? Why don't I give you advantage on this roll, help you out? And yeah, if it misses, then we rely on vision. Sound good?
Yep. All right, so it's 2d10, and I'll take advantage. So keep highs two. Let's do it. 14.
14 is not enough. You
Yeah.
do see some tracks deep, larger than a human footprint, massive and wolf-like with claws as long as knives, that darted off from the camp, but you quickly lose them between the dark and perhaps it even leapt up into the trees at one point. You find yourself unable to track it this night.
Well, luckily, I had a vision
Luckily, you
of
did.
where this might go. And as we're walking through the woods, parts of it, they're familiar in a way that Torben can't immediately place until he realizes that the runes that he was following in that dream, that he saw a vision of himself following, it is the trail he needs to walk now.
It
And so
is.
he'll turn to the others and say, "Trust me. Follow me. I know where it went."
As you begin, all of you are following Torben. As you start moving through the dark forest, it's like memories that don't belong to you, because this dreamy sort of recollection that feels intuitive. The moon overhead providing just enough light to see by. And this is not interrupting you knowing the way, but it is a thing that you do that you will encounter is you hear a branch snap from the forest floor nearby. And the stillness that follows, the tension. There's a figure in the woods approaching. But very quickly, their size is nowhere near large enough to be the stalking beast that attacked you. You see a woman walking out of the woods holding a hunting bow in her hands. She looks to be a local, perhaps like a woodswoman, dressed in hunter's garb. Has a bow. She's approaching you quite cautiously, but there's almost like a determination underlying that. And she like had like one arrow knocked and the string slightly pulled back, but seeing the three of you, she just like slackens on it a little bit and she says, "You're not my quarry at all." Puts the like doesn't take the arrow out of it, but is no longer like pulling it taut and says, "What are the three of you doing out here?"
Your quarry is at the Vagr, the wolf thing.
She narrows her eyes and says, "You're not local. I'm the one who's going after the bounty."
Take the goddamn bounty. I want its head.
Oh, well. Glad to see that you're reasonable, folks. She's like lowering the bow like a little bit more. She says, "The beast, I been tracking it a few nights now. Been killing and eating livestock back at the village. I'm looking to take it on, claim the bounty. As long as you're amenable to that, then I see no reason for us to quarrel."
There's an item in its possession. We want that. You can have the bounty.
She like looks you guys up and down, noting your armor and equipment, and says, "You sell swords, bandits?"
Does it matter?
"Well, I suppose not. You're offering to help me then?"
You can help us.
"Well, been around the block a bit longer than you, Sonny. I can try, but maybe I can give you an edge where you fail."
How good are you with that bow?
"Good enough. I'm the local woodswoman. Done a fair amount of hunting in my time."
Do you have a name?
She just smiles at you as if to say that was like, "Oh boy, it's finally someone asked me my name." She just says, "Annalise." And do you have a name, Castilian stranger?
Estevar, this is Torben, Elia.
She nods respectfully to each of you.
As you've guessed, we're not from around here.
No, you are not. You're not, none of you are wearing your Templar trappings, are you? Or Elias is? Elias totally is. Totally is. She like
I mean, he's
nods.
got the cloak, but
Yeah.
yeah.
I think she even sees it, even beneath the moonlight. Like crooks her head and she goes, not familiar with. And then she like goes, oh. Apologies if for asking. Are you one of them Knights Templar?
We found some, killed them, ate them, took their gear. Can we go?
I was just gonna say, I don't give a fuck where you're from or what you've been through or whatever's going on out there in the world. All I care about is if the citizens are gonna eat this winter. And yes, we can move on. What did you call it? A Varger?
Fogger. It's. Doesn't
You
matter.
saw it.
Yes.
Damn, luckier than half the town then. Okay, well, this wolf has been giving us quite a lot of trouble. Would you care to maybe give me a little bit of an idea of, was it a pack? Was it a single wolf? Well, describe it to me, damn it.
A wolf on two legs.
Now that doesn't check out.
Single fighter, extremely fast, lethal.
She has like expression on her face where it's like, okay, dubious, but I'm not gonna question it because fuck it, I guess like the hunt on. She just shakes her head and says, fine, you're quite determined. Lead the way. I'll back you up. Just do you know where you're going?
Yes.
Where is you know, she like gestured on the woods, like, okay, care to point me in the direction?
Follow.
Young man, you're walking into the middle of the woods. If I thought better, I'd say you're walking towards the cairn.
Talk less.
It's fucking rude, this one. Guy commenting over at Elias and Estevao.
We just nearly got eaten. Please do forgive our manners.
Fair enough. Forgive me, but I'm a little surlier. Haven't been sleeping great.
Neither have we.
And you lead forward. But it is clear that when you continue on the path, Annalise does frequently be like, oh fuck, you are heading to the cairn.
What is this cairn? Can you tell us about it? What's so worrisome about it?
It's been here for as long as anyone can remember it. Some old structure. Heard that it was built to bury the chieftain of some tribe that claimed these woods their home centuries ago. A lot of superstition around it. We try to avoid it. A lot of us, only the youngins, try to make games of running out there, but more often than not, they fail to find it. It's deep in the woods. It's this, you know what a cairn is? It's a big old mound constructed. I guess, well, fuck it. If we're going there, you're going to see it, but she kind of like calls to forward to like the front of the party. Might I advise, if this is where we're going to, we proceed with great caution and stealth, lest we alarm this beast to our presence. You sound like you're felling trees with each step, damn it.
Must
I
admit,
wanted
sir.
to know what's coming.
That's metal as fuck. I think she just kind of like huffs and being like, fine, your funeral. Sorry, Esvar, were you gonna say something?
I was just gonna remark on how it is a little difficult to be stealthy in chainmail.
Fair point. Haven't worn it myself.
Not the most comfortable.
But eventually, the trees open up, revealing a massive mound of dirt, lumber, and stone crafted into an oblong grass-roofed hut, half buried in the earth. Even in the moonlight, as clouds part overhead, You can see roughly hewn steps that lead down into the bowels of this place, and an old worn stone slab that is ajar moved off to the side. There is a smell in the air, reminiscent of the beast at camp. Annalise crouches low at the edge of the trees. She says, "You're certain?"
Absolutely. I have seen it.
"Well, we know it's here. You said this thing is responsible for how rough the pair of you look."
Yes. Only because
"Yes.
it caught us off guard. We were expecting a wolf."
You don't seem like you're in fit form for fighting anything at the moment, if you'll pardon my observation."
It took two blows from my longsword and several bolts from Estevao's crossbow. It is not in fit form.
She nods and looks towards the mound. "I don't see anything. I don't hear anything. Do you reckon it's inside then?"
We'll find out.
"I would advise then we approach with caution. We don't want it to know we're coming," she says, very like directed at Torvin.
Torvin will look at Elia and Estevao.
"We only need what it has. You say
You
this
only need
thing.
what it has.
You say this thing has been hurting your village, Annalise."
Yes, for a few weeks now.
"And I suppose it must die."
As long as the people are safe, that's all I care about.
Exactly. "Perhaps we can go about this the smart way. We have two archers. Perhaps we lure it out and don't give it the advantage of its lair, its high ground."
Sounds like a solid plan, but
Said this is made of sticks and stones and
It's
dirt.
yeah, big old mound of earth that has like stonework and like lumber built into it with like an entrance carved into the side.
Was also thinking fire.
Yeah.
It probably, knowing how barrow mounds work, it would be very difficult to like set it aflame from an external source, but like there's all it's the lumber is more structural versus like it's not a predominantly wooden structure. I have a pretty
I mean, it
decent.
doesn't necessarily need to like fully catch fire. It just needs to produce enough smoke
Sure.
to
Here,
drive it
I have a
out,
little
right?
picture that I can post in the Zoom call. This is from the book at least, but I think it's a good impression.
But I think also the point is we need to get inside. We cannot, start a fire from outside.
Yeah.
We have crossbows.
All the same, all this discussion is great, but you won't have a good idea of if those tactics are viable unless you are much closer to the cairn and able to actually peer in to survey your options better. And Annalise is advising caution on that front, but you don't have to heed her warning. Though I will say, trying to not be detected by the beast is a stealth check with a difficulty of 24.
Good
And
God.
if that roll has failed, it will ambush you again.
Yeah, that's why I'm thinking wheeler it out, because we are probably smart enough to know that that's not gonna work. So that's why I was trying to get a plan to like get it to go to us. So we at least know that it will be coming.
Yeah, I'm wondering what advantage stealth would give us, because if Estevao, I think, is the only one who even has a far shot of making that, but then to put Estevao into like a 1v1 situation, even with a sneak attack on it,
Because that'll only last you one attack, because then it will know where you are.
yeah.
Think Annalise will even float, and this is, I'm not putting my thumb on the scale here, I'm just giving an option. She does say, well, we have tracked it. If you are uncertain how to proceed, it sounds like you wounded it. You're welcome to come back to my camp. Perhaps we can rest and prepare. Surely we've cornered it to its den. I doubt it will slip out. Can always come back.
Torben's gonna say whatever Danish for fuck that is.
Okay, yeah, sure. Yeah, I love it. Yeah. She just shrugs as if she gets the intent, even though she doesn't understand your word. She's like, all right, cool. I'm game for whatever.
I feel like these are the only Danish words that Elia and
Because
Esteban know.
they picked up, you said it enough by
They've
now,
heard them so often, they
yeah.
know what that means.
Intuitive, you've
No.
intuited that they mean fuck this.
Now that said, the most important thing is the cup. So I think Estevao is going to volunteer to try sneaking into the place and at least extract the cup. And at that point, if it wakes up and it attacks him, he's also the one who hasn't been beat to hell, and he can fighting retreat back to everybody else, or we can try and, overwhelm it with numbers. But if he gets the cup and gets out, then we have the cup. And I know Torben wants to kill it. We can still do that. But the important thing's the cup.
By the way, I just realized that very little has been discussed regarding the nature of what it is you faced. And I wanted to ask Estevao, being a learned man, would since you barely saw it, but Torben and Elias' descriptions, would you have perhaps racked your brain for like knowledge in this front? Because
Do we
you
want to
are.
leave it to the dice and do like an intellect
Well, as I was saying, this would be
insight
it would be a
or history?
it would be a history, yes. It would be a history. I would say a well, actually, no. I'm not even gonna say there is a test. I'll say something different, which is considering that they got attacked by it and you're following their descriptions, if they indeed saw what they saw, and you shot something, you didn't have the best view of it, but it definitely was pretty unnatural looking. There are, of course, the folkloric stories of the Loup-Garou, of the werewolves, the men who can transform through some lycanthropic curse into bestial creatures. What I will
Yeah.
say, though, is because you're very learned on history. Because you're what's your history skill again?
Three, and I think I know where
Yeah.
you're going with this.
Well, silver has been floated as one thing,
Yeah.
but
Yeah.
there is another weakness known to werewolves, and you, Kevin, already seem to know this. Or if you don't, I'll tell you, but.
The silver is the obvious one. I'm unfamiliar.
Well, you're an herbalist, my friend. And there is a reason why the plant
Wolfsbane?
is called Wolfsbane.
Took a second. We got there.
And actually, you're pretty sure you have seen Wolfsbane in this forest.
Oh, interesting. Then I think that's what Estevao will say is he'll look over at Annalise and ask her if she has, if her or her village has any silver, or Silvered weapons would be lovely, but that's a safe assumption
Yeah,
that they
she gives you like a look,
don't.
like a, just that tells you like, do you think we fucking have silver weapons, let alone weapons? She's like, I have my bow. But in the on the note of silver, she's like, well, I mean, there's probably like some status, like scattered silver, like in terms of like there's coin, there's probably
Yeah.
some jewelry, like there are scattered sources of silver. She doesn't really seem to know where you're going with this, but I think even if
No.
you're presenting the folkloric angle of it, it would
Then
be possible to, it would take time or some creative thinking to like turn it into a weapon.
no, we'll go with the Wolfsbane angle, and Estevao will look at Torben and say, "This thing took multiple solid hits from you. It took a crossbow quarrel from me. It's not natural, but there is it's antithesis, its bane is somewhere in this forest. I remember seeing it. It's Wolfsbane. Now, I, Kevin, don't exactly know, other than like the plant itself, is that something that can be applied to weapons as, again, like a poultice or an anointing oil, or like is it just the presence of Wolfsbane that would normally be detrimental to this thing?
It is in folklore considered a like a deterrent or even like a weakness of it. There, the stories are multitude. Some say like, oh, there's a concoction. Oh, some say burning wolf's bane is like the smoke is it. It wolf's bane itself has some significance. It seems like there's a multitude of applications it could have. And I will just tell you honestly, as your GM, there is not one specific form that is guaranteed. I'm down for a creative idea that we think fucks. So, like, as long as you have the wolf's bane, maybe you coat your weapon in wolf's bane, or you burn it for smoke or whatever. I'm fine with whatever. It will give it its. But we're all the same. If you want to find wolf's bane, it will be a healing test because it's using the province of herbs and plants, difficulty of 15.
Yeah, then I'm gonna try and sell this idea to Torben that like this plant will help us in this fight, and we should take the time to look for it.
And gather it. I'll stand guard, make sure it doesn't slip out.
Sure. Jazzy had to AFK for a second, but I would love help on this healing check just for advantage, because advancement points, possibly.
Yeah, we always love that. We will just tiny pause until Jazzy's back. All right, so SL is going to attempt this healing test. He wants aid from Elias.
Sure, absolutely.
We're
What does that look
looking
like?
for Wolfsbane in the forest.
You going to give advantage, reroll, something else? What do you think?
Which one do you think is?
Either reroll or advantage. I'm fishing for crits here. I mean, on top of obviously,
Making
just,
it, yeah.
yeah.
I'll give advantage. I think advantage is pretty nice for crits.
Sure. Two highest, 3d10. Intellect plus healing? Or quickness plus healing?
I feel like intellect makes sense.
I mean, if you say it's faith plus healing, I'm gonna
No, I think it's
virtually
intellect.
strangle
I
Jazzy.
no, no, I think it's intellect.
Fantastic. So that's plus six. 3d6, two highest, plus six. Oh no! It's a
Got your
crit, but
double.
it's
The good news is
two
it's a
ones.
crit.
So yeah, the highest combination of numbers is 10.
You will not find any wolfsbane in this vicinity. You would need to search another part of the forest and probably in better lighting. Like you would need like your the nighttime is ineffective for your hunt. You can't find wolfsbane.
Don't remember, does the crit count if it's a miss?
No, it only
Oh,
counts if it's successful. Yeah,
boo,
unfortunately.
boo.
And I think here, just because in these early phases of planning, Go ahead and wind down the session in this period of uncertainty. We can go to our stars and our wishes. I will start. Very fun session. I'm glad to be back. Loved the little vignettes in the boat. I thought it was some really like long coming character interactions, both between Torben and Elias and Elias and Estevao. Love those scenes. Just the reinforced vibes of friendship and standing by each other despite the tribulations. Very good. Loved Torben being like, you can take the bounty, I want its head. Everything Torben did this session was great. Just truly, he was singing. Elias getting his bell rung and the cup taken, and then having like an immediate like low point of being like, oh my god, I fucked up. Such a great little character moment, because like all like the bravado, the pomp and the circumstance immediately fell away, because he was just like, oh fuck, this is on me. It's not like a gallant like, aha, fell beast. I was like, no, it was like there was a desperation there. That was great to watch. And then I feel like Estevao also really shined this session, particularly around like interactions with the sailors, but then also, you know, in the exploration of doing the herbalism stuff and like healing his allies. I just overall, like we got some really good dynamic scenes, and there was a good momentum to just be like making like tangible progress. I had been planning to like, it's like, okay, if you guys travel through the forest, I am dropping this adventure into your laps, because this is from one of the books. The adventure is called The Wolf's Cairn. And I was like, well, I'm going to just drop that on them. I'm glad I did, because this was very fun. It's a fun little side quest. You guys said, we want something supernatural. And I'm like, let me just hit you over the fucking head with it. And yeah, no, I was just, I'm having a fun time with this. Yeah, it's a fucking werewolf. Obviously, it's a fucking werewolf. Although I am amused though, because the book is like, if you're playing a mundane campaign, it's just a really big wolf. It's just like, it's like, you know, you don't describe it as anything supernatural. It's like, it's like, it's just a fucking gnarly wolf that attacks you guys. But I'm very much of the thing where it's like, no, this is a fucking werewolf adventure, and we're doing that. Yeah, exactly. But no, that was just fun. My wishes, I don't want you guys to die, but also that'd be fucking scary if that happened. I'm looking forward to you guys actually also making more progress closer to Navarre. Like I said, I have more supernatural, like mystical related stuff that's happening. I hinted at some of it with the visions, particularly. I mentioned things regarding Elias and Estevao that are hints of things I have like possibly planned. Also want Elias to drink from the Grail, provided you guys get it back. Cause let's just say that Elias might be able to do so now safely, because it required a minimum of faith of 4. But yes, that's me.
I'll go. I really liked the scene between Elia and Estevao. It was on the boat. It was so good. The werewolf attack was a lot of fun. It really felt strange and dangerous, and that felt appropriate for this. It was good to get that kind of little. They had a bit of a month-long vacay, and that was nice for our boys. And I'm glad that it didn't crash on the rocks of some unknown island, and then we had to deal with other problems. We just got here, and that was great. Nice to catch a break every once in a while, and
then immediately get attacked by werewolf. About it, by the way, heavily thought about shipwrecking, but then I was like, no, I'll be nice.
But now we called you out too many times, and you were like, I would never.
Yeah, good session, good fun to get some crunchy combat in, and I'm definitely looking forward to killing a werewolf. Actually, I wonder who it was, is, and then kill it.
Incredible. We both unmuted at the same time and unmuted again at the same time. Incredible. Yeah, stars. I mean, echoing everything that's been said. I love this continuous miscommunication between Torben and Elia. Like, it's very endearing, and I think very interesting to me that they we know that they really care about each other, and we know that they obviously maybe even have more feelings for each other than they're willing to admit to themselves or each other. But it's so funny to me that Torben, wanted to go pray alone and want to sort of have this moment, and Elia's just like, "Oh, we're having such a bonding moment. Oh, look at us being besties." And Elia being totally like, "No, I'm giving you the clothes because I'm showing you that I care more about you, and I don't think that you're getting it, but I can't tell you." And just very funny scenes of them just not quite talking about the same thing, and I thought that really shined the session. It was very amusing to me and very interesting to engage with. Torben hitting himself in the ribs was like, oof, yikes, awful. And to see Torben get because we've seen him before with the knight, feeling bad that he didn't win, but this felt like so much more vicious and panicked, and I thought that was a very interesting moment. Echoing the line, "You can have the bounty, but I want his head." And I also especially like the line earlier with Elia, where you said "I don't care about the clothes. I don't like why you wore them," which Elia completely misunderstood as "Oh, because I wasn't being a good Christian. I get you. I get you totally." Does not understand the classism at work here. But yeah, I thought those were really great. With Estevao, again, echoing, I thought the moment of you in a tree shooting the werewolf was super cool. I also really liked when Elia was like, I don't remember what exactly he said, but when he first brought up friends, and Esteban was like, "Oh, is that what we are?" And then Elia immediately being like, "Is it not?" Like, what? I think they just have such a funny, such an endearing bond, where Esteban was like all catty and cold, and Elia is just this big golden retriever energy, where he's like, "Of course we're besties. What are you even saying?" And I like that scene a lot. It was nice to see to see Estevao have his moments to shine and be a bit more taking the lead, taking charge, knowing what he's doing, which was really fun to see. Alex, thank you for giving me a second murder wife. Very, very good, very great. We must protect her at all costs. I already love her. The werewolf is horrifying. That shit got so quickly. That was bad. I loved it. Also, I guess kind of star for myself, but mostly for Ben as well. I liked how we both went I feel like the only honest option is to go for a worse condition than just saying stunned, even though there's mechanically nothing that said we couldn't just do that. But I like that we're both still like, "Nah, this was brutal and we gotta honor that. That was fucked up. That was not okay." Fun to see the Valorous Knight move in action. Wishes. I'm interested in going about this a bit more tactical and how that's going to look like with the Wolfsbane, maybe if we can lure it out by getting fire from the village or getting something. I'm kind of interested in doing something more than just storming this beast and taking it out, as cool as that would be. But I think having a tactical battle would be cool here. I would love to know more about Annalise and what the fuck's going on in this weird ass forest. And not a wish for next session necessarily. But at some point I would love to maybe be in civilization that doesn't actively want to hunt us, because I have very high inspire and persuade, and I feel like I haven't really had a chance to use that much, because we're usually talking to people who don't re which is fair, but I would love a chance to kind of see Elia maybe in that role, where he has a bit of opportunity to show what he's good at, which is, I think, a interacting with people in a
The
way.
easiest way is to for him to take off the fucking Templar tabard. No,
It's not
but
gonna
you are in
do that.
English-owned territory, and for the most part, the English are like somewhat okay with the French. I'm sorry, they're okay with the Templars. No, but I agree. I was gonna say I wanted to see more of that shine as well. Thankfully, you're getting
I
closer to the
mean,
actual
listen, the
territory.
easy way is the werewolf rips off his tunic. Like, we can fix this. But Elia will not take it off
You're gonna
willingly.
try to persuade the werewolf too, like.
Yeah, I will. I'm gonna inspire it to be better.
Cool, that leaves me, which is great because I don't have to think of stars because they've all been said. The ship stuff was great. The little vignettes, like I mentioned in chat, it's nice to have these little moments of joy and happiness before it all goes to shit, and to shit it all went. Definitely ought to give a star to Torben. Thank you for being our Worf to be Worf affected. If it kicks Torben's ass in a single round, we know to be scared. Similarly, I was definitely thinking of advancements of like increasing my crippling blow. But if we're just gonna get like 30 damage thrown at us, the difference between a crippling blow of 2 and 3 is kind of moot. So decided to go the other route instead. Start out like already just like bringing in the herbalism stuff like right out the gate. It's really fun angle to explore and continues to sort of develop Estevao's character and give him something to do other than just be like books and brooding. Yeah, it was really cool to see that come up as early as it did. Yeah, the Alias Estevao scene, I feel like has been coming for a minute. So it was nice to actually get some feelings and thoughts on the table. Yeah, I think I got everything I wanted out of that scene. Torben, everything he does is full metal. The hitting himself in the cracked ribs, the I want its head, the and then also just like being an obstacle for us as often as he is an asset. Because it's like, no, we could do this the smart way, but immediate violence is sometimes the answer. Yeah, I love that for us. And we've all seemed to fall into our like not the five-man band, but we have the mind, the muscle, and then we have Elias, the face, the beauty. I couldn't think of the M word or if there is one for it, but anyways, and Annalise, fantastic. I like how these sort of travel games give us these like side characters that are like here for a chapter. And we get to meet them, fall in love with them, and then be like, goodbye. I mean, a recurring side character would be fun, but not particularly mandatory. My wish is, my more esoteric wish, is that at some point, I think it would be fun for Elias to get the reaction that he wants. Because I feel like every major interaction that Elias has, it's like Elias does not get the reaction that he's expecting. And at some point it would be fun, I think, for Elias to like get that W, right? Get the dub. I don't know where, when, or why, or how, but something on my mind. I think more actionable wish, to sort of bring back a wish that I had earlier and just kind of like keep it in the space. Is to have that sort of like pastoral sequence where the Templars get to like chop wood and help out with raising lambs and ranching. Don't want to linger in that space for long, but here we have a village huntswoman, which assumedly means there's a pastoral village somewhere here. Might be fun to have the Avengers Age of Ultron, like let's go and not be heroes and just do mundane things for a minute. And if for only that we see why each of the Templars decides to not ultimately choose that life. But yeah, think those are my thoughts, and I'll leave it there.
Right on. Thank you. Any additional stars or wishes? Then I'll see you guys next time.